Well, we promised you that we would try to get the BBC onto the programme this morning. To be fair to them, they're here. The head of television commissioning, Susan Lavelle, is sitting in the studio with me. Good morning to you, Susan.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. And Guy King, the filmmaker behind the programme. Good morning to you, Guy.
Hello.
Good morning. Right, the Mayor of Lorne, Martin Wilson. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning to you. So you've got the people behind the programme here, one of the most senior executives in the BBC and the filmmaker himself, Guy King, here as well. What would you like to say to them?
Well, first of all, Stephen, I would like to say that in terms of the broadcast on Monday night, that it was not a reflective, balanced view of life in Larne in 2014. Now, Guy spent a long time in Larne filming. I myself had spoken to him on many, many occasions prior to even filming. I remember very vividly, Guy and I having a discussion in the council chamber about what his project was and what he intended his project to be.
Let's focus this, Martin, on questions this morning.
Yes. Yeah, well, sorry. The question then I'm asking both Susan and Guy is how, when something started off as being a programme about tourism, economic development and how a town deals with news of job losses and comes out of a recession and rebounds back from that, how did it end up not reflecting any of those aspects in the programme? I just don't understand how programme drifted away from what it was intended to do.
Susan.
Well, morning, Morrison. I think it's important to have a look at what the film was actually setting out to do. What was the film about? It was about what it's like to live in a small town in any part of the UK, indeed in any part of Europe. What's it like to be in a small town as a regular person, a working person, and how do real people deal with the challenges that that poses for them? So that was our aim and ambition, to set out to stand alongside ordinary working people and get a real sense to go under the bonnet of people's lives and try and get a real sense of what it's really like. We wanted to look then at the challenges facing a town like Larne. And there were challenges, by the way, that weren't set out by the BBC. There were challenges that were set out at the beginning of the programme by the chief executive of Larne, who explained what kind of challenges the people of Larne are facing. And then what we set out to do in the film was to find characters and stories that reflected people's real lives. We wanted to bring to the fore those great human virtues of resilience, fortitude, hard work, great good humour. And I think the film did that very successfully.
Well, Susan, can I just say in that respect one thing, which is very, very clear. Had that been your intention, and I mean, I'm not disputing that that may have been your intention. Had that been your intention, the very first thing I would have thought that you would have tried to do was make sure that the people who were on the programme were actually from Larne. Now, when you look at the programme and the individuals who were interviewed on the programme, 4 out of 6 of the main people who featured are not even from Larne. Now, from a starting point, I would have thought if you were trying to get under the bonnet of people who know and love Larne, you would have made sure that the people you were interviewing were actually Larne people.
Guy?
Martin, how you doing?
Good morning, Guy. The
people featured in the film, Gareth, the young preacher, was very much from Larne. George is from Island McGee, which isn't far, but he stands on the dual carriageway just outside Larne.
He's from Carrickfergus, but we'll not argue over a mile or two.
And Hector, who's painting the fences from Carnlough, which is Larne Borough, you know. So for me, I was in Larne, you know, trying to meet as many people as I could, and I was just being drawn, you know, to people's stories who I felt inspired by, you know, and I found everyone in the film inspiring in a different way, mostly because of their passion for Larne and their love for Larne, you know, and their desire to sort of improve their lives and improve the town. I mean, Gareth would meet specifically to pray with his family for the economic benefit of Larne, you know.
Is Larne a deeply religious town? Because there was a lot of religion in it. Mm. Is that what you found?
I think for me, I was
religious than any other town in Northern Ireland.
When I was making the film, I discovered that my grandfather was a church elder in First Larne Presbyterian, and I think in a way this is there's an element of a personal journey in this film, you know, that I am being drawn to people who I find inspiring, and I think having learned that my grandfather was a church elder, I was drawn to that. Also as a theme, because when you talk to George and he describes himself being born again, for me, there's a more human element to that of someone who at a time in his life wanted a change, a big change, you know, and for him that was being born again. For the town of Larne, that is, these job losses have happened. We're not going to lie down and take it. You know, we're going to make the brave step of investing the money it requires into a new tourism product that will be fantastic when it's made, when those metal bridges are properly in place. So for me, it is about people having the gusto and the gumption to fight back and overcome things. And that was always my intention.
So you're shocked by the reaction?
I was surprised, definitely, and shocked. And I was disappointed that what I was trying to do was show, you know, ordinary people with just a sense of I can make things better. And that was always my guiding principle. You know, I wasn't focusing on people who were, didn't have that. You know, I was always looking for people who believed in Larne, you know, and loved Larne. You know, and I love Larne. I was born there and I grew up in Glenarm and I do love the place, and that's why I'm disappointed. I'm sort of,
I suppose, yeah. One thing I would say there is it's still available to watch on iPlayer, and I would encourage people who are interested in this debate who haven't seen the film to actually go and watch it. I would say that Larne, as kind of the central character, comes out of it very well. It looks beautiful. You've got people who are driven forward, who are ambitious for the town and themselves, grappling with some of the real issues that ordinary people grapple with. It's part of a series of programmes that we've commissioned that are called True North. And the idea of True North is to try and stand alongside ordinary people and give them a voice for a change. I think lots of people have the opportunity to say what they think about towns. This was an opportunity to come alongside some ordinary people. It's quite a complex portrayal of real people living in a real place. And actually, I think it is quite inspiring. And I think Guy has done a very, very good job, a very tender and touching film, very warm. And I think coming to that, knowing very little about Larne, I think people will see that it's quite a tender film.
So when you say Guy has done a good job and it's quite a tender film, are you not taking on board then the vast amount of criticism of this programme? There's nothing to reflect upon. Indeed, we learned today that Larne Council are holding a special meeting about what they consider to be an unbalanced and distorted perception created by the programme makers, created by you and Guy. There's a petition with some, 1,500 signatures on it, and you're saying it's a tender film?
Well, I would say a couple of things in response to that. First of all, we're having this debate now in public on your show, Stephen, and I think that's absolutely important. We really do welcome all views wherever they come from, and we expect to have robust and lively debates with audiences about TV shows. That's what we're here to do. We love that. But coming to what the film was actually about, the film was about what it's like as an ordinary working person to live in a town that's having a difficult time, and how some key figures in that town inspire, they demonstrate some great human values, resilience, fortitude, hard work, honesty, faith. I think that came out of this film, and I don't feel that it was biased against Larne. In fact, if you look at the main characters in the film, every single one of them in their own way absolutely loves Larne. From the man in the street to the chief executive, there's not one person in that film who doesn't love Larne.
Could I just say...
Well, let's give Martin a chance.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Stephen. Just one other thing. I mean, I can understand. I mean, maybe it's because I don't come from an artistic journalistic background or something, that I'm missing the subtleties that Susan describes. But in terms of the amount of filming that Guy had done, and I don't dispute for one moment that Guy doesn't have an affection for Larne and for the people of Larne, but in terms of the number of people that Guy interviewed, spoke to, met during all of the time he was filming, I can only say that the true reflection of Larne must have ended up on the cutting room floor, because certainly the people that were interviewed are not the people that I experience day to day in and around Larne, extolling the virtues of what Larne is about. And I mean, for instance, and I made this point yesterday, and I make it again, and it's something I would like to clear up. Guy, at the end of the film, has credits towards LEDCOM, thanking LEDCOM for their participation in the film and all the rest. Now, as I described yesterday, LEDCOM are the local enterprise agency who provide workspace and deliver programs for people wanting to start businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And what I want to know is why LEDCOM didn't actually feature in the film
Let's let him answer that. I think we need to be brief because there are other people who want to speak here.
Martin, LEDCOM were at the bottom of the show on the credits because I was really grateful for Ken Nelson and the time he gave me, and I did a lot of filming in LEDCOM, and I filmed the First Minister, I filmed a business conference.
Why weren't they in it then?
Well, it's to do with what space you've got to tell the story you want to tell. Now, take the Goblins, for example. Everybody knows that the people of Isle of Magee, all the councillors, Linda McCulloch, the head of that department in the council, they all have done so much work over the years prior to Geraldine being involved. And Geraldine, the chief executive, has done, she's pushed it forward. But so there's a lot of complexity to why the Goblins is. But when you have maybe 8 minutes to tell a story, that you're trying to tell it to a big audience to get the message out in its most compelling sort of form. You can't put everything in.
So a man talking about getting hooted at twice in a road was more compelling than featuring LEDCOM. Showing a man painting a fence on a street was more compelling than showing LEDCOM.
Well, the man painting the fence was painting 13 miles, and he had a very striking philosophy of life, which was his work would keep him going. You know, the man tooting who responded to the toots, he had a stage in life where he wanted to change, and I found that just really moving, that he had been born again because he needed a change in his life, and he made that change, and he had the gusto to stand and give his message to the world, and I just did find that was inspiring to me, and I take my hat off to George.
Often when film crews are out on the road, Guy, people toot horns at film crews. So they were probably tooting a horn at the fact that there was a camera on the road rather than him, right?
No, one of the reasons he's there is to garnish support, or he's there for a reason, which is to face the traffic, so he will often get a response whether I'm there or not. No, absolutely.
I suppose I would come in.
Well, let Susan continue, Martin.
Just an answer to your question, Martin, about the subtlety. I feel that the positive points about Larne are not hugely subtle in this film. So you've got beautiful aerial shots of Larne looking fabulous, great passion and vision from the chief exec. Ordinary people going about their work being industrious and proud. The place is bathed in sunlight for about half the film. Everybody's working to spruce up buildings. People are ambitious. We've got great pride. We've got George at the side of the road. We've got a hostel conversion, Humphreys Hotel, which looks fantastic, and you see the first Malaysian visitors coming. So I don't think it is so subtle as to be missed. I genuinely think that coming out of that film, and you have the extraordinary story of the Goblins and the very brave decision of the council to put £4 million into that new tourist attraction. And if you saw BBC Newsline last night, you'll see that that's continuing on apace. So I don't think the positive points about Larne are that subtle. I actually think it is a very positive and endearing.
Let's see what some of our callers are saying this morning. Here's a Larne caller. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
It was just total embarrassment from start to finish. I thought it was a satire. I thought it was coming on to say that people in Larne, a lot of places have hard times at the minute, but how much they were fighting to try. Where was all our youth that's working so hard to try and get back into Larne? Where was the sports clubs? Where was the running clubs? Where was the choirs? There was nothing positive about it. All it showed was Larne was, I don't know, those people that were on, yes, those people exist, they live in Larne, but where was the positive side to Larne? The chief executive come up a set of stairs and sewing her legs. What's that got to do with anything?
For me, that was just an image of a strong female leader in her high heels. It was running, a sort of a symbol.
The same as running in and lifting up a comb and brush her hair and rushing back out again. The same as arriving at a building site in a pair of high heels. Mm-hmm.
It's a fair point. It's humanising people. It's showing these are human people with,
Totally, totally, and utterly. But there's an awful lot of human people in Larne And the mayor is one of them that puts long, hard hours into trying to show a positive side of Larne. Yeah.
I think Martin Wilson is fantastic. I think he's a fantastic man. You know, I think he's a great leader, and he's very.
Yes, and I totally agree with you. But you did not show one positive side of Larne.
Yeah.
All you made was a total laughing stock. The only thing that has come that the people are united. But the thing that they're united in is that was a total disgrace. And I think the BBC has to do something. Come down. There's a thing on Facebook at the minute. There's Lahaina landscapes and showing there's about 2-3 minutes. It shows Larne in such a positive light.
Susan?
Whereas a half-hour programme showed Larne as a total laughing stock. On Twitter, it was the 7th most talked about programme that night, most talked about place okay. that night.
Susan?
So, thank you for calling in. I can absolutely see what you're saying, but I have to say I didn't take that from watching the film. I saw a town pulling together. I saw a whole range of different characters of whom you should be rightly proud. You see young Joiner, he's ambitious for himself. He might want to be a minister. You see the guy standing by the side of the road is also a very talented landscape painter. You see people who've sold up everything in Australia and moved to Larne, back to Larne, to give something back to the community and open a hostel. You see many, many conversations in the council about how can we improve Larne. When Guy brought us the very first bit, he brought us a taster of the council official talking about the pride that you've got where you can phone into the council and thank somebody for a job well done. We thought that was fantastic. And the way that that person spoke about that phone line and the calls that they got with great pride and dignity, I think was the essence of the film.
Well, let's hear from some more callers this morning. Davey, morning to you, Davey.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead,
Davey.
Morning,
Guy.
Morning.
Well, I'm just going to cut through all the tripe. It really was a pathetic programme. The BBC should be actually very embarrassed about that programme instead of trying to come on to defend it. I actually had to take a second take on it and watched it with a friend from outside, Larne. And you know what? He laughed solidly for 40 minutes. You know, it just was absolutely no reflection on the normal people of Larne, the business people, the sporting.
Well, that's the disservice to the people who were featured in it.
What on earth is abnormal about the people featured in it,
to be fair to them?
The people in it.
It's not for you to take a judgment, is it?
Hold on, the people in it should not be pilloried. You know, they were hand-picked, but there just seemed to be this strong, fanatical, religious thing to it, to be perfectly frank. We did not see the best points of Larne. There was no Carn Funnet Country Park. There was no sporting clubs that were... I mean, we've two massive running clubs that have grown from the ashes, really, over the last two years, with a vibrant rugby club, with soccer in the town, with hurling around the town, with a game of three halves very recently where we got all our sporting bodies together from hurling, soccer, rugby.
Okay.
I love Carn Funnet Park. I've stayed there a few times. It's one of the friendliest places I've ever been is Carn Funnet, you know, but it just didn't. I really love it, but it didn't fit in the particular film.
Obviously it didn't, because it was far too positive a story. To me, this was a spoof. This was a comedy show. It needs to be redressed. And what the BBC actually need to do, because I've had enough of the media portraying Larne as an absolute dump, and this did not help.
The people of Larne have had enough of it. We need the BBC to redress the balance here.
David, the BBC have come into the programme this morning, so let's hear from them. To be fair, there are many, many times where the BBC actually haven't fronted up. They are fronting up this morning. Susan's one of the most senior executives in the BBC. She's in the studio this morning. That doesn't always happen, so have a listen to her.
I absolutely see what you're saying. I think there are a number of things to say. You wouldn't expect us to be making a corporate video. That's a different job and not the job that we're doing as filmmakers. Coming back to what we set out to do with this True North film, we set out to look at real human emotion and what happens when real good people are faced with difficult circumstances. There's a very strong narrative in this programme. At the beginning, yes, the F.G. Wilson jobs do go. And actually, we were so concerned about that story that I commissioned a whole other documentary called Closure that went out. So we did look at that in full. By the end of the programme, you can see high-tech jobs. You can see the town coming together for a royal visit. You can see the hope that there is in the tourism of the Goblins. All the people who we're talking to are talking about how much they love Larne, and I absolutely appreciate we weren't about buildings and initiatives. We were really about raw human emotion, and when you come alongside people and you hear what people's lives are really like, I think it's incredibly moving. So you heard a woman talking about her life partner and how difficult that was going to be, but she wanted him to be in Larne. You heard a young man speaking about how difficult it was, but how he hoped he might be able to be of service to the people of Larne. You heard about the landscape painter saying, doesn't matter how beautiful this coastline is, and I love it. What really matters is how people speak to each other and what the people of Larne is like. Every single person that we featured in that film absolutely loved Larne. They loved Larne.
I was genuinely disappointed that I had that response. I was surprised and didn't expect it. My intentions were to make a positive film where people were overcoming and the town was overcoming.
Did anyone from Larne, this is on everyone on Larne's lips, did anyone from Larne, did the CEO get to view this programme before it went on air? Because there was certainly a bit of, she was certainly given a bit of PR before it came out, and we were all really looking forward to this. We're all thinking this is going to be a programme. This is going to show Northern
Ireland. It's not for the BBC to promote anywhere, though. The BBC is not a part of the tourist board.
I Love Larne was the title. It was to focus on the economic regeneration of the area.
Let's bring in Bobby as well. Morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I just like to say, Guy, don't get too down in the dumps about it. I see a positive side from it. I certainly would have a lot of reservations for the programme. But the thing is, Stephen, the great thing I think is we're all talking about Larne. And if the programme hadn't gone out, Larne wouldn't have got a mention. And Larne's got so much going for it. It's such a great place. I live out in Carncastle, 4 miles north of Larne, but I lived in Larne for years and I work in Larne. I'm lately working in Larne today, and I'm involved with Ulster Scots. And I would just say to Guy and Susan, we're big in music in the Larne area, and we bring visitors over from Scotland and with links to Scotland. And let's look at the positive side, and hopefully the BBC will do that. And if anybody's free on Wednesday night, yourself, Stephen, we're running a soiree, and we hear people from Larne and everywhere come.
I'm on the soiree. It's called a TV show. Can't believe you don't watch it.
And can I add to that? The town hall has just been revamped, and it's looking incredible. The main street has always been a great place to be.
Martin Wilson, you're the mayor of Larne. Just finally with you, have you guys not got anything better to do in Larne rather than hold special meetings about a TV show?
Well, Stephen, I mean, you're aware of the public reaction to this show, and I mean, councillors have been inundated with requests from the public about what we're going to do.
What do you expect to do?
Well, I don't know what we'll do, but I mean, at the end of the day, the council will come, we will discuss the ramifications of this. We may very well, out of that, commission our own programme or something to show Larne in a more positive light than what it's currently been shown on the BBC programme.
You might commission your own, you're setting up your own TV channel. What do you mean, commission your own programme?
Well, Stephen, I mean, be serious here. What we're saying is we may ask a company to come in and look at the other aspects of Larne that were not featured in this particular programme. And Guy has alluded to a lot of them in terms of current funding.
And but I'm not being funny. And do what with it, though?
Well, to obviously use it as a balance towards the programme that went out on air last Monday night.
And how would people see it?
We'll try and get it shown where we can. But, I mean, I'm not saying that will happen. I'm saying the council will come and discuss all these issues and try and work out where we go from here and how we build up Larne's. I mean, Larne has taken a terrible knock out of this in terms of the people in Larne, how they feel about this programme. And you've heard it yourself from some of your...
Well, I've heard a range of views.
Yes, but, I mean, the overriding view is that this was not a positive programme for Larne.
What happens now, Susan? Are you taking on board, is there any learning from this for the BBC?
Absolutely important that we listen to and reflect on those comments that are, you know, very dearly held. And we expect people to be emotionally connected, particularly in Northern Ireland, to the places where they live. We all are, and that's a good thing, perfectly appropriate.
But they're not emotionally connected, they're angry.
And they're angry about feeling that they were being misrepresented, which I don't think they were. True North is our opportunity to move around Northern Ireland and try and tell different stories. It's also a platform to use some of our young filmmakers, and we've got several films coming up, where we look at life from through a different lens. you wouldn't expect us to be making corporate videos. That is a different job, and absolutely quite right. If Larne Borough Council wants one of those, it should go and get one of those. But that's not primarily what we're about. We are there to reflect real people's lives, and we're happy that this film has done that.
And I'd have liked for the silver bridges to have been in place at the end of the film so people could just see what the Gobbins is going to be, because it's going to be a really brilliant place to visit. So that's what I would have liked at the end, to be clear that this Gobbins is going to be a great place.
Okay, we appreciate you coming in, Guy. We appreciate it. Susan Lavelle, thank you.
Thank you.
For coming in this morning. Martin Wilson, thank you.